This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's 2:45 Central Time, 25 degrees in Urbana. Well, what's new with wireless access in our community? That's the question we're going to take up in this portion of the program. My guest is Mike Smeltzer. He is the Director of Network Communications at Sites at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
How wired is the campus today?
The campus is very wired. Most every building on campus has some sort of connectivity to it. In terms of wireless, we're getting at the point now where about 85% of the classrooms now have wireless coverage.
Wow.
And that increases, you know, every month.
Yeah. What about the larger Champaign-Urbana community?
Oh,
in terms of wireless?
In terms of wireless, there are a couple of companies in town that provide wireless access to your home, but then they give you a box that will plug into that wireless connection. So they're really using wireless for the last mile between their facilities and getting it into your home. Volo Broadband is one. Pavlov Media, I think, does some of that as well. The big companies, AT&T, supposedly is going to start offering a wireless broadband service later on this year, but we haven't seen any details on that yet.
Yeah, lots of businesses, especially retail, you know, your coffee shops and your mm-hmm. restaurants and that kind of thing are wired up.
Typically, the coffee shops will get a wired connection to power their facility and then have wireless for their customers within. So they're, you know, most of your coffee shops, those kinds of places, have wireless now of some sort.
Yeah. Now, how do we find wireless connections on campus?
Almost any campus building has wireless of some sort now. If you're a student, faculty, or staff member, that's easy to access because you have a university ID and a login and a password to make that happen. Sites, about a year or so ago, started offering a service for community people in university facilities. It's called Public Wireless. Right now, it's only available at Willard Airport, the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, the Alice Campbell Alumni Center, and the Vet Med Waiting Room, actually, and the Vet Med Clinic. We're in some discussions with the library right now about making that service available at their facilities across campus, which would add about another 26, 27 buildings. And for that service, you just need to have a laptop computer with wireless. We ask your name and who you are, but past that, nothing special.
Okay, that's all you do is you just open up your computer?
Open up your computer, fire up wireless. You'll see a menu of the kinds of names of the wireless services that are available, and that one is called UI Public Wi-Fi. For instance, if you go out at Willard Airport and you're in the waiting lounge, that's available to you right now.
Okay. Now, what is walk-up networking?
It's a little bit of it's an older term. The library specifically used to offer walk-up networking, and they still do to a certain degree, where there'll be a plug in the wall that's connected to the campus network, and you can walk up with your laptop and plug in and connect to that. There are some walk-up network jacks, I believe, in Krannert and some other buildings around campus. That's almost been totally replaced by wireless. The wireless has gotten so good and it's gotten so fast that most people don't want the hassle of being mm-hmm. tied to that cable or tethered to the cable in the wall. And wireless is tremendously convenient. You can, you know, if the place has got coverage, you can stretch out on the floor, you can do whatever you want, and make yourself comfortable while you're computing.
Now, for those folks who might be interested in walk-up networking, is it available to folks who are not students, faculty, or staff?
Right now, just in those four buildings that have the public wireless service, the Willard Main Terminal, Krannert, the Alumni Center, and Vet Med.
Okay.
And there's probably, at this point, there's not a plan to extend that to the whole campus, but it could be. The library will be an interesting first step if we do all the buildings that have libraries in them. That'll pick up a large number of buildings. There's some concern about security and use and so forth. We've tried to make the public service useful but also very secure so that we're not hearing from the FBI and other people about people doing bad things on our network, because when people do bad things on their network, they come back to the people who manage the network and say, why did you let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a concern with the security office and with the university's attorneys that we're not exposing the university to unnecessary risk.
Okay. Well, speaking of security, how do you recommend we keep our laptops secure?
Well, we'll certainly always have the most recent versions of the operating system on it, run some sort of if you're a Windows user, some sort of antivirus, anti-spyware sort of software. It's even becoming more necessary for Macintosh users as well, but basically keeping your stuff up to date.
Yeah. Do you recommend firewalls for laptops if you're going to be doing wireless?
I think both Windows and Mac now include firewalls in the operating system. They're not necessarily turned on by default. You have to go in and tell them that you want it to turn the firewall on. Yes, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Is there a hardware firewall in addition to software?
Sure. And for your home, you might have a firewall that would protect your whole home against whatever's out on the Internet. But for a laptop, I mean, obviously you want to be portable. You don't want to be carrying another box that has to plug into the wall. So the operating system in your laptop can function as a firewall.
Okay. So you wouldn't want to be taking – I guess the hardware firewall is in the router.
Yeah, it's in the router, or it could be in the router, or it could be a standalone that sits just outside the router.
Yeah.
And for your home or your business, that makes a lot of sense. But for your laptop, you're going to have to rely on what's in the box.
How does one evaluate the various virus protection programs and spyware options that are out there?
Oh, goodness. You're talking to a Macintosh person who's, you know, somewhat smug about not having to worry about that. That's a good question for Mike Korn, our director of security. I don't know that I would be a good person to really answer that. But there's the campus, if you're a member of the campus community, there are free virus and malware programs that Sites provides. I couldn't tell you what they are, but I know they're on our website. You can use them for free. We have a site license for all university faculty, staff, and students. For people in general public, you're pretty much going to have to rely on, you know, word of mouth or, you know, talk to the people who sold you your computer.
Yeah. Now, speaking of your website, this might be something that folks would find very useful, not only in the university community, but outside the university community in terms of how all this stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do in order to arrive at the site's website?
Oh, I would Google sites.uiuc.edu, and it'll get you there.
And Sites is
C-I-T-E-S. It's short for Campus Information Technologies and Educational Services.
Yeah. And you can also get there from the University of Illinois homepage
sure.
as well.
There's a link from there as well.
But there's all kinds of information with links you can click on and get more information.
Yeah, we try and put as much information up there as is useful for people. It can be information overload. It's a very large site with lots of links. But if you're looking for something in specific, you hit that site, and with a little bit of searching, you can usually find what you're looking for.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk with us about this afternoon in terms of what's new and what's coming?
Well, there's an interesting new service for campus. This doesn't affect the general public, but the university community will appreciate it. It's a different type of wireless technology called WPA2. It uses the same access points that we already have deployed, and it shows up just as an additional service. Typically now, UIU CNET is the name of the main campus wireless service that's been around for many years. WPA2 now shows up as a second SSID, which is the little name of the service. And with WPA2, you authenticate to it once, and after that, it just keeps on working. You don't have to authenticate every time you start up your laptop. It signs you on automatically, which, to my way of thinking, is very convenient. One of the big issues with wireless or any network access is we would like to know who's using the service, so if something bad happens, we know who to go talk to after the fact. And this takes care of that authentication. You have to tell it who you are the first time. You give it your university password and your credentials, and then it remembers that. So anytime you can go from building to building, you can go anywhere on campus, and with WPA2, you just open your laptop, and it just plain works. Now, this is in a... It was rolled out to the whole campus about 2 weeks ago, and people are slowly discovering and said, ooh, this is pretty neat. I use it exclusively now just because it's very easy and I don't have to mess with it. I turn on my laptop and it's there.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, except if somebody steals your laptop or you lose it.
Yes.
Right? That's got to be a concern.
We have ways of finding people on the network if they're using a stolen laptop.
Well, that's interesting.
So we discourage stealing, but if you do steal, don't be silly enough to use it on our network.
Very interesting. Anything else?
Those are the big things. One other little thing. I don't know how we're doing on time here.
I got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. We're starting to use wireless as a backbone technology to connect to buildings that are in remote places. Typically, the buildings on campus are connected by fiber optic lines that come back to a central node. When you get to the South Farms, you have some very great distances and not a whole lot of density. And so we have probably a half dozen sites or so on the South Farms, closer to a dozen now, that are connected back to campus either through a wireless link that goes to the roof of, I guess it's Oglesby, in at one of the FAR residence hall buildings. And then we also had a 100-foot tower down in the Beef Sheep Complex, which is way Ray Street south, pretty much Ray Street and Old Church, south edge of campus. About 2 weeks ago, that 100-foot tower turned into a 40-foot tower in the middle of the windstorm, which was unfortunate. But it fell in such a way that the people that were connected to it, the antennas ended up pointing the right direction, and things kind of kept on working. So it looks ugly right now, but it's still working. But that's a technology that we'll use more of. The new energy farm that's being built out there with the windmills mm-hmm. and so forth, that'll be how that connects to the Internet initially. While they're in the construction phase, and it hopefully they'll put in fiber out to there, but they may not have enough money to put in fiber, in which case they'll use the wireless. And that's it uses different frequencies and a different technology than's being used for your laptop, but it's good point-to-point technology, and it's relatively inexpensive to get a building up and running. Mm-hmm. There are some research efforts going on out in the South Farms. Civil Engineering is doing some flow control studies of there's a creek that runs through there. And they just have sensors sitting in the middle of the creek that are powered by solar panels, and they then talk to this tower and send their data back to campus where the researchers can analyze and do things with it. And they were also doing that with the Soyface complex where they were growing the switchgrass for the energy studies as well. And once again, just a relatively small radio hooked up to a small sensor. It measures water vapor, sunlight, daylight, so forth. And then that just talks back to the tower, and once again, the researchers can view those environmental conditions remotely.
Very interesting. That's where we'll have to leave it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mike Smeltzer is the Director of Network Communications at SITES at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and you can find the SITES site on the web by either putting SITES, C-I-T-E-S, into your search engine or going to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign homepage.